Do you think that blogging is dead? That it isn't for serious online entrepreneurs who want to grow an empire? That it's too old-fashioned with all the latest and greatest social media platforms out there? Well, my friend and incredible business expert, Aaron Trafford, is here to set the record straight. Aaron has over 16 years' experience as a media personality, a blogger, a branded content expert, and is now coaching others on how to grow their own blog business. On the show today, Aaron is dishing about the future state of blogging, why a diversified income is so important, but what to start with first, whether digital product creators should even bother with a blog, and how she landed a $40,000 brand deal. Sound juicy? It is. Stay tuned in for the full interview coming up next with the one and only Aaron Trafford.
You're listening to the Passive Project Podcast, where we talk about how to build your online business to make more income, more impact, and give you more freedom in your life. I'm Gemma Bonham Carter, business strategist, mom of two, lover of passive income, automation, and coffee. Welcome to the podcast.
I am so pumped to let you know that we have a brand new live webinar coming your way on January 26th. If you sell an online course, a membership, or any kind of digital product, this is a must-attend event. So go sign up. The link to register is right below this episode in the show notes. And in the live webinar, we are going to be talking about the three critical mistakes that you might be making right now that are resulting in low sales. We're going to talk about what it really takes to grow a six-figure income from digital products. Hint, it's not what you think. And we're going to look at the behind the scenes of how I run my entire digital business so you can copy my system. So that is all coming up live on January 26th. I can't wait to see you there.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. I am so excited to have one of my best business friends on the show, Aaron Trafford. Welcome to the Passive Project Podcast.
Hey, ladies, super excited to be here.
So excited. So Aaron and I, we go way back. We met as two like lifestyle DIY bloggers way back in the day and have actually had a very similar kind of path and journey, and like the winding road has taken us to kind of similar places along the way. So Aaron, I would love to just start out by, if you want to just like introduce yourself and what you do, and then we can deep dive into like your business story a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. That's a really big question, Gemma. Like, where should we begin? So yeah, we're like OGs. Like, I think we met, I was trying to figure out when we would have met, like 2014. It's been at least 5 years, at least.
Yeah.
5 years. So as of today, in this moment, I am a digital producer and content strategist. That's what I do, but I have a little bit of like a unicorn quality in that I have 16 years of mainstream media, live television and radio experience that, when you combine with my digital experience, kind of makes me a bit of a unicorn. So I work with solopreneurs and really large brands, and help them to essentially tease out their stories and tell them better. Was that succinct enough?
Yes, I love that.
Yeah.
So can you take us back to like, so you have this experience in mainstream media. And for those of you who don't know Erin, she was a radio host, right?
I was all the things. So
you were all the things.
I've been all the things. I was actually at one point Canada's youngest female talk show host ever.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know that. Yeah. That's a nice one to stick right on the resume.
Yeah.
But then you started a blog. So can you talk about like the early days of that?
So I was working in the newsroom, slaving away as I think I was an anchor at the time. I was doing the afternoon and drive time news. And my husband, well, he's my boyfriend at the time. We just bought this tiny little condo, like a postage stamp. And I was like kind of feeling, frankly, I wasn't feeling so hot about the news that I was putting out. Like it was a lot of politics. It was a lot of murder. It was like the market crash. Everything just felt really heavy. And I remember coming home and saying to him, like, you know what? I kind of want a good story to tell. And I want something that is only going to make people happy. And this was like right around the time when like Young House Love had just started. And like, I didn't even really understand how to Google anything and like all this stuff. So I decided, well, I like these Young House Love people. There are some others in this space. I was like, I can do that. I can take pictures and figure out how to put them on the internet. So that started my blog. The funniest thing about the blog, though, I think that surprises most people is that because I worked as a media personality, I was actually owned. Like, my name was owned. My face was owned. I couldn't put my name on anything. So for the longest time, it was a secret project out of necessity because I was like afraid I was going to lose my job. And I remember the day that I decided to leave the newsroom, and I had, you know, I was quite accomplished. I was at the top of my game, and I just decided it's time to walk away. And about a week before I gave in my notice, I was hauled into the news director's office, which happened all the time, by the way. It wasn't uncommon. And he took me to task over my blog, because by then it had been about 3 years. People were drawing connections between me and the blog. They knew that it was me. And he kind of was like, you know, this could potentially be seen as a conflict of interest. You can't be on TV talking about the latest election news and at the same time then go home. And I remember he said, blog about doilies and bows.
No.
I was like, I don't think I've ever been so livid in my life. And I walked away and I thought, okay, well, first of all, it's not a freaking conflict of interest. But second of all, it's more than doilies and bows, and it felt really kind of belittling. So
absolutely.
I kind of stuck it to the man, walked away, and that Frank Sinatra quote of like, success is the greatest form of revenge. Like, part of me wants to look him up on the internet and be like, look what I've done with those doilies and bows, right? Like,
absolutely. So, yeah. Okay. So you walked away from that and began, well, didn't begin your blogging career because you'd already been doing it for, you know, 3-4 years, but then took it to the next level. Like what came next?
Yeah, there was a little bit of a honeymoon period there where I did work in a technology startup company. And that was, you know, I don't want to gloss over that because it was an interesting time for me for two reasons. Because it was entirely digital. So I learned all about how startups work in the digital space, which is really helps me bring perspective to my clients now who want to start digital businesses.
Right.
But I was their manager of strategic partnerships, which at that very, very high level, and we're talking like $500,000 partnerships, really helped me understand how to put a pitch together and get it seen and get it signed, sealed, delivered so that both parties were really engaged and getting value out of that. So for about 2.5 years, I worked at that really high level, all the while putting all of my extra energy into building my blog. Finally, I ended up going on maternity leave, and that's when, and I think this is really common for most solopreneurs who are women, that was what pushed me to take the leave. I thought, if I can do this at the $1 million level, I can do this on my own.
Yeah, absolutely. That was certainly my own experience too. Isn't it funny, like, as you're telling your story, you know, I was also that person who was watching Young House Love. I didn't really know what a blog was. And I was like, ooh, this isn't like, I love this and I could do this too. And what a great way to like, we also bought our first teeny tiny little fixer upper house. And I was like, oh, like this, what a great way to share with friends and family. No understanding of it being like this business venture that I would eventually call a job. So here we were at separate like ends of the country starting these things right at the same time, which I love. So one, and then similar to you, like when I went off on mat leave for that very first time, that was absolutely my big push to really think about how my life could look different if I was my own boss, right?
Yeah.
So, so then like as things evolve, as your blog was growing, and your blog is called DIY Passion, for those of you who haven't followed Erin before, then how did your kind of second venture come to be? Because I know that you've like made this sort of pivot. So how did that happen?
So it started really, I mean, obviously there's been a lot of shifts in influencer marketing, and I hesitate to use that phrase because I find it a bit pejorative lately. People think oh, influencers, hashtag influencers, and there's like this big eye roll. But when I look at reactions like that to something that you and I both know works really well when done really well, I see it as an opportunity. So I started getting asked questions by agencies and by brands. How can we do this better? Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, I started getting asked questions by up-and-coming bloggers and to a certain extent, Instagrammers. And I'm no Instagram expert, but nevertheless, how can I navigate this better to be more like you? Because right. somehow along the line, I had cracked this code wide open where I didn't have a massive social media following. I had a really solid blog. I had a really solid brand. I had a really solid personality. And I was able to package this and sell it to brands for top dollar. So I was getting asked by people with much higher followings than I was, like, how are you doing this?
Right. Can you give you don't need to share all the numbers, but like,
yeah.
can you give one example so that people can kind of have an understanding of what a top dollar package would actually look like for a blogger?
So, I mean, if you're looking at blog plus social, I mean, there's a lot of nuance in there that would depend, but I would say if you are half serious about making an income or a side hustle mm-hmm. on this, like you should not be, I say you shouldn't be getting out of bed for any less than $1,000.
Right.
Right. To give you a sense of one of my largest partnerships at this stage of the game, it's about $40,000 a year. And that's just one.
Right.
Right. So, and it's all strategic storytelling. So point being, when I started kind of looking at this and thinking, okay, I'm being asked these questions on both sides of the equation from the brands who don't really understand how to do this well. And from individuals who want to get in the game, how do I serve these two? Because I can, I've been on both sides of the equation. And so that's kind of what started just this past June. And it's just been a wild ride ever since. It's like kind of amazing and it's super fun.
So you branched out and kind of started a second arm of your business.
Yeah.
In a way. So, which everybody can find you now at erintrafford.com. Is that right?
You got it.
Yep. Yeah. So, I love that. And so you're still, you know, figuring out how you want to make that part, that this new business work, but you have worked with everybody from, you've done a group coaching program for other bloggers. You've mm-hmm. been working with really, really big brands with them on how to, develop their influencer strategy. So you're really like running in all the, like, you're helping all the people and running in all these different kind of levels, which I find is really interesting because I'm sure, for instance, the people in your group coaching program so appreciate your insights that mm-hmm. you can bring from your experience working with giant brands, right?
Yeah, because something that I think, you know, there's a lot of courses out there on like how to make money blogging and how to be an influencer. Like, and I think truly the secret sauce that I bring and what my group members consistently tell me that I think I overlooked from the beginning was that deep insight at the brand level, because I've been involved in a lot of brand projects that I haven't been the face of.
Right.
So sometimes I'm just at the table with the brands as their strategic partner.
Right.
And that has given me intense insight into how to communicate with them effectively.
Yeah.
I think that's a lot of bloggers and a lot of influencers really come at it. If there was just a little bit of a tweak, they'd see a significant increase in the effectiveness of their pitches.
It's so interesting.
Yeah.
So where you stand now, the interesting thing is you've been blogging now for such a long time and you've been in this world for such a long time. Where do you kind of see like the current state and the future of blogging as an industry?
So that's really interesting because I just posted something on LinkedIn that like went semi-viral, which I don't know if that makes me cool or that makes me a little foodie or not. I actually really don't know.
I think LinkedIn is like, people are talking about LinkedIn in a really big way lately.
Yeah. If you're listening and you want to connect with me on LinkedIn, feel free. I'm Erin Trafford on there. I'm on there a few times a week. I actually quite enjoy that network. So I just posted my thoughts on influencer marketing and blogging vis-a-vis 2020. So I think blogging is going to start moving towards what I like to call branded content. And I'm speaking purely as monetizing blogging by being paid by someone else to produce content. So you're always going to be bolstered by ad revenue and affiliate income and all that beautiful stuff, right? When you build a blog that you own, that gets SEO, that gets big on Pinterest, you're going to have those revenue streams. Where I see the biggest potential in 2020 is in being strategic in pitching a storyline rather than an engagement metric, mm-hmm. that builds content in a new way. And I posted that on LinkedIn, and I got crazy response from people like around the globe agreeing with that. So what that tells me is that brands want that. Brands don't just want you to like put up a crappy blog post. They want to actually go deep with you. So where do I see blogging going? I think it can be a great lead magnet if you're running your own business and you want something evergreen that is going to last forever and you can keep re-promoting. Yes. If you want to partner with brands, I think that the model is starting to break and become something new and very exciting.
Yeah.
Like it's a really exciting time to be a blogger. That's what I think.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I think we've kind of like come over that hump of it just being about those vanity metrics, and everybody has a much better understanding now that that isn't necessarily the be all and end all of what works. Mm-hmm. And we're entering into this new like era.
Yeah. And that's what I see this cool thing where people are stopping. They're not even calling it sponsored content anymore. They're calling it like branded content or partnership. Like even the relationships are changing. And I find that really encouraging.
Yeah. So can we, we'll switch gears just for a second and talk about, because I know that when you kind of talk to your clients about growing their businesses, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but you talk about a bit of a diversified like income stream approach.
Yeah.
So can you just speak to that a little bit about what you recommend to your clients when they're, as they're building their businesses, like where their revenue should be coming from and maybe even like what they should be focusing on first?
Yeah, for sure. So that's a great question. So a lot of my clients in my group program are either just at the beginning or haven't even started yet. So, or throughout the course of the program is when they commit to starting. So when they're at that point, we spend a few weeks really understanding the why and the intention behind the content. We set them up on a strategy that's going to eventually build that passive revenue on their site. And then the first place to focus is on pitching and those brand negotiations, because if you want to build up your bank account, that's actually your best shot in the beginning.
Yeah.
So I would say like for the first 6 to 8 months, almost 100% of your revenue is going to come from that. And then after that point, you're going to start to see those ratios shift to, you know, an 80-20, and then eventually, you know, a 50-50, and then, you know, wherever you want to pivot from there. I end up now with my streams of revenue, I'm actually, it's almost even split. Like it's like 35 or 33, 33, 33. Like I'm pretty well diversified now.
And explain to folks what those three buckets are.
So just, if I'm just talking about my blog, that would be sponsors, affiliates, digital sales and ad revenue. Yeah. Okay. So if I lumped digital sales and affiliates in the same bucket.
Yeah.
And then that accounts. I mean, I think I've just learned through being an entrepreneur that you have to be diverse. Like you can't just have one thing.
No, I couldn't agree more. I've always, like, it makes accounting a nightmare because like
my husband
took over our QuickBooks at one point, and like we're incorporated together. And so his business is like so streamlined. It's like invoice, payment, invoice. Yeah. And mine is like coming from all the places, and poor guy has to like figure out the categories and how to like tag it all appropriately. And it can be a nightmare. However, it does give you that sense of security. And I know for at least like when I talk to my audience, like building a digital product revenue stream, like whether it's a course or a membership or whatever that digital product looks like for you, that takes time. These things don't happen overnight. It's not an overnight success if suddenly you start having six-figure launches of your course, right? You have to build up to that. And so you need to have these other things in the wings to support you as you are getting to that place, unless you just are able to just, you know, not have an income until you get there, right?
Well, and that's why I kind of laugh, because I've been doing this for 6 months, because I've been doing it for a lot longer than that. I've been doing it with intention for about six months now. And I wanted to, I knew I could do the course route. I knew enough. I could have done that, but I back-ended my business and started with in-depth one-on-ones, moved to a group. And the course is coming. It's definitely coming, but right now I'm in that kind of higher touch point stage of my business, and it's fine. Like, it's the insights gathering, right? Absolutely. It's however you're choosing to get to know what your audience needs and what your clients need most from you.
I couldn't agree more. And I think a lot of people just try to jump to the course part without having done anything first. And it's really hard to do that when you don't have insight into what your audience truly needs and wants and what is going to get them results, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's, I mean, and what I'm learning is truly that content strategy is great, but where people find, where we're having the most success is truly in the pitching and positioning. And that's, it's so fun. It's like a game to me. I love it.
So for those of our listeners who are, let's say that they're somebody who has already built a digital product business. So they're selling a course or they're selling a membership or templates or something like that, but they don't actually have a blog. Like, let's say they have a website, but they haven't, you know, done any kind of blogging content in terms of strategy. What would you say to that person? Like, is it worth them blogging? Should that be a route that they should consider? What would you say?
In general, I would say if you have a product-based business, like goods rather than a digital product, I would say most likely no.
Yeah.
Like, to be honest, I would say like you're probably better off just focusing on doing what you do, do the Pinterest marketing, like that kind of thing. Yeah. If you are a digital, like a, you're selling a course or you are in some way, shape, or form trying to step out as a key opinion leader in your space, then absolutely, blogging should be part of your strategy. Not only that, but to a certain extent, you should be building that partnership strategy into your business as well. And I know that you totally believe that too, Gemma, that like whether you're working with a big brand or you're working with another, with a solopreneur who is exponentially further along than you are.
Yeah.
It's that conversation. It's that cross promotion. It's that partnership that can truly, truly, truly help you grow. Mm-hmm.
And so do you still also believe in the value of just like old fashioned blog posts?
Oh, completely. Yeah. Completely. Absolutely. I mean, I have blog posts that I wrote in 2015 that still pay me money. So like, why not?
Yeah, I agree too. And I think a lot, I think often it gets like, you know, it gets trashed because there are other things that, you know, are like flashier and fancier and people want to focus on those things first. And so they think of like blogging as old fashioned and sort of pop it in the garbage bin. But actually creating incredible evergreen content that's going to last the test of time and really using that content strategy approach where you get that SEO juice, you get those pins that start to build a lot of traction and send traffic your way. Like a lot of the really successful digital product-based online entrepreneurs have incredible, like incredibly strong evergreen content that is pushing traffic their way.
So something I always say is you got to think about the lifespan, right? Mm-hmm. So when you post on Instagram, you're lucky if you get 48 hours out of that post.
Yeah.
When you post on Facebook, you're getting 5 to 6 hours, right? And I know a lot of business owners just want to focus on those two things.
Yeah.
The lifetime of a pin is something obscene, like 3 years, 4 years, something like that. A blog post doesn't even actually hit its full potential until about 12 months after you've written it.
Isn't that crazy?
So when you do spend the time to do it right, I think what it is that we're just in such a fast-paced world and people want to make money now and they want all the things like right away that sometimes you forsake, you know, the forest for the trees, right? Like spend the time now. Last January, 2019, I did 30 blog posts in 30 days because I knew that this year was going to be a big year. And I was like, okay, I got nothing going on in January. I had a few media spots. I had some branded stuff, but like nothing, you know, it was January. So I wrote 30 blog posts in 30 days. And I tell you, Gemma, I probably could have just not blogged for the rest of the year because like a good chunk of those posts now rank number one on Google. Majority of them took off on Pinterest, and I can credit them for doubling the size of my site in like less than 6 months. So
incredible?
When you take that time and you take that concerted approach, then what did that allow me to do? It allowed me to spend the rest of my time focusing on selling myself to brands, building these giant partnerships, working through other parts of my business.
Yeah. Building your group program, working with clients.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So before we wrap up here, for people who are thinking to themselves like, oh man, I need to get on that blogging train and start writing up some blog posts and like get this going for myself, what would you say are some of the key things that people should be thinking about when creating a blog, like a piece of blog content? Like what are the top, I don't know, three tips or something or mm-hmm. five tips that you would tell somebody who's newer?
Well, the first tip would be, it's not about you. And the second tip would be, it's not about you.
It's like, this isn't an online diary.
No, I mean, it can be. It's funny you should mention that because we had this conversation on the last coaching call we had with my group program is, I said, you know, one of the members, she has a newborn, and she's like, I really want to write his birth story, but I feel like I'm struggling to get the SEO value from that. And I said, girl, listen, like, write the birth story, but know that you're not going to get the SEO value, that you're writing it for you and it's about you, but that's not part of the business plan. It's okay to do that, but that's not what's going to get you the money. So the first thing is, when you are writing content with intention, it's never about you. It's always about the reader.
Yeah.
And I think that just, yeah, I think that's 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. It's like, that's the most important thing.
Yeah. How can you add value?
Yeah.
And have the reader walk away having taken something really good out of what you have just created.
Completely.
Yeah.
Completely. Yeah.
Okay. So, Erin is a member of the Passive Project, which is our membership community for digital entrepreneurs. And Erin, we will be opening the cart to the Passive Project. We're going to be doing a really exciting live launch coming up here soon. What would you say to somebody who is thinking about joining? Like what have been some of your biggest ahas or like wins having been a part of the group?
Well, I think I was one of like the founding members too, because I think I signed up on like the first day you opened it for Every Amen. I think I did.
I think I should send you a special gift.
It's like, whatever Gemma's doing, I just want to be there. Okay, so what do I think is the best takeaway? And this is like, honest to God, I'm not saying this because I love you, but because it's true, is that it is truly the most robust resource center I've ever seen. It honestly is like, the value that you bring is like ridiculous. And I think also the supplemental, like the masterclasses that you do with the subject matter experts, I really like that extra perspective that you bring, because I often find like I've been in masterclasses before where you always just want to kind of hear another perspective, another voice. So I really, really like that. So if there's anybody out there who's like, I don't know if this is for me. Yeah, I totally, totally. There's something in there for you for sure.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much for saying that. Well, it's so nice to have you be a part of the community. And frankly, I obviously am totally biased and think that it's the best spot on the internet to hang out as a digital entrepreneur. And we have so many exciting things up our sleeves for 2020 in the Passive Project. It's just going to keep getting better and better. So Erin, thank you so much for coming on the show today and sharing all of your expert wisdom about blogging and branded content and all of that. Where can people find you? Where's the best spot to head?
All my things are at erintrafford.com, or you can come over and say hello to me in my awkward Insta stories. I am at @itsbotErinTrafford, and I'm frequently without makeup in my pajamas.
They are wonderful IG stories. You're one of the first people that like pop up at the top of my thing. I always click on it. Very real conversations that you have in your stories, which I love. So you guys, if you're listening to this show, snap a picture, share us on Instagram stories at gemma.bottomcarter is mine. You can tag Erin too. And we want to hear from you. We want to know what you took away from today's show, what you're going to put into action. Are you a blogger? Are you thinking about blogging? We want to hear all the things. So make sure to do that. And we can continue the conversation over on Instagram. Thank you so much, Erin, for hopping on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Gemma.